Hi there. Thank you for joining us in this week's episode of Let's Talk. I'm Chima Onyebelama, your host. Today, we have quite a package for you. Well, first of all, I'll be going into an interview I had with J.K. Pele about God's call for the church to be involved in media. Then after this, I'll be sharing an exhortation with you, a very encouraging exhortation called Grace, Grace. And I believe it would really bless your heart. Thank you for joining us, and don't go away. Welcome, welcome, dear viewers, to this segment of your show. As I said in the introduction, we have once again a man who we had some weeks back on the show. J.K. Pele doesn't need introduction on this show because what we had the last time was quite moving. But he's here on another note today. J.K. Pele is the CEO of the Abino Foundation, which we talked about the last time. But J.K. Pele is also a man very vested in the media. And we want to talk about media today. J.K., you're welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And,
Thank you.
And we want to talk about the revelation that God's giving you concerning Christian in media. But let's go back and just talk about, you had a TV show some while back in your country,
For
Nigeria.
For 8 years.
For 8 years in your country, Nigeria. It was called Jesus is Lord.
Life. Yes.
And it was basically an evangelistic show on one of the channels in your country. And you've had opportunity to visit and be with the national broadcasting.
Religious broadcasting.
Religious broadcasting association.
In the U.S.
In the U.S., attending their conference and all that. But you said in the midst of all of this, God started to speak to you about Christians in media. Can you walk us back at how this happened? How did God interact with you? What was happening on that day?
Well, I was looking at the media. And the fact that a lot of people were saying, oh, media is the devil's toolbox and all that.
This was around when?
This is far back in 2001.
About 17 years ago or 19, 18 years ago.
And the Lord said to me, no, media is in my end time plan. Media is established by God. And began to open up scriptures and began to show me media in prophecy. The first encounter I had was the knowing the systems in the media and its implication in the Bible in context, not out of context. If you look at Psalm 19 and you read through Psalm 19 from verse 1 to 7, David saw what we are seeing today.
Okay.
David saw satellite broadcasting. If you can read that, let's start with that. Psalm 19.
Psalm 19. Yes. I'm going to open it up in my Bible here.
Yes.
Just give me a second. Psalm 19.
Now, beginning this is, from verse 1.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands.
That's right.
Day after day, they pour forth speech.
Day after day, they do what?
Pour forth speech.
Now, watch this. It says, heaven declares the glory of God. The cloud speaks of his handwork, but he began to say day after day, they do what?
They pour forth speech.
All right. So their voices are heard, right?
Yeah.
So what is he talking about? It's talking about media signal being released into the clouds. Clouds don't speak.
Yeah.
But what is in the cloud speaks. What we're doing, the television we're watching all over the world today, it's been done in one small room, and then it's released into the cloud. And then you began to hear voices. But here, you were speaking about 24 hours broadcast. Because it was saying you will hear their voices in several languages. Read on, sir.
It says they, they have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world.
Exactly.
In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun.
Hold on. It talks about the sun, satellite broadcasting. It said you don't hear their speech because it is sent as a signal into the air and disseminated.
Yeah.
So David was seeing the satellite broadcast and even used the word that we're using today, said they are circuit. Read on, read on.
It says that, and you know, when you talk about you don't hear the sound, I just think of the way we have all this network transmitting everywhere. You look around visibly, you don't see anything.
You have to have a box.
Yeah, it's actually out there in the air. It doesn't make noise. But once you have the right receptor, media is coming to you on your phone, on the set. So I'm seeing something I never saw before.
Yeah, you know what just hit me now?
Yeah.
It's a further proof that God created everything through sound.
Yeah.
God created everything through sound.
Yeah, because he said, let there be.
And exactly. And everything he said, let there be, became. You know. So David was looking at satellite broadcasting. Mm. But let me paint the picture accurately, prophetically. Go to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. You will see the presentation.
Jeremiah chapter 50.
From verse 1.
This is the word the Lord spoke through Jeremiah, the prophet.
So God was speaking through Jeremiah.
Jeremiah concerning Babylon and the land of the Babylonians. Uh-huh. Announce and proclaim among the nations.
Hold on.
Lift up a banner and proclaim it.
Fantastic. He says, announce and proclaim. He said, lift up a banner. The word that was used there simply said, set up a signal to broadcast.
Wow. In Hebrew.
Yes. Set up a signal to broadcast. There's nothing that you and I are seeing today that is not a product of prophecy.
So the Lord is the Lord of the media.
Exactly.
He's the media.
let me give you the one that will shock you. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, the Bible, Jesus records that when he comes, all eyes will see him. Hold on. All eyes will see him, right? Now, we understand if you follow end time study, the earth is not going to be, it's not going to change.
Yeah.
So Jesus comes in Jerusalem, and there are people here in Nigeria. He sets his foot on Mount Sinai. Guess what? CNN has their camera stationed there. They asked the Turner one day, why is it that you have deployed a camera? He said, no, we want to know when the Lord will come so that we can
Turner said so.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So invariably, when Jesus will come, the media will be attracted. So where you are, one side of the earth will be sleeping, one side of the earth will be awake. But the broadcast is 24 hours. So definitely, the media will be attracted by his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are in different parts of the world will watch the glorious coming of the Lord. Now, I don't want to take you backward. There's a difference between rapture and the second coming.
Of course. And we're not even spending time to break down the whole thing of the last things. But what you're saying is clear. It's the fact that all that has to do with media, the satellite broadcast today, which has revolutionized media, and it's all been in the plan of God. No. Part of what prophecy has said in the beginning. And that means we that are believers have to walk with God into this.
Exactly.
Step into this space, because if we don't, we miss that of a platform God has provided for something bigger than what is being used for now.
Jim, God created Facebook.
Yeah.
Not the man that is called the founder of Facebook. God put in his brain
to create it.
To create Facebook. Today, Facebook is the greatest tool for disseminating the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, God created the media. Satan never, he didn't create anything good.
God inspired the creation of the media, yes.
Of course. He put it in your spirit and somebody gave birth to it.
Yeah.
You know, so God is interested in the media. Jesus said that the end shall come when the word has been totally published. Another word for it, broadcast. So today you find that more gospel is being preached through the media that the four wall of church cannot preach.
Yeah, you know, we're going to take a break now, Jake. And when we come back, I want you to just talk into how we can key into this platform, this whole media thing that God has created. I think we are doing a lot, but there's still so much to be done.
Yes.
In fact, this perception that, look, this is a bit ugly or there's a bit of evil in it that drives people away from the center of the media is something that we need to pull down. and just release an army of people who can grab hold of this thing that God has created and use it for this end time harvest. Their viewers at home, I've been talking to Jake Epele. He's the CEO of the Abino Foundation. And we've been talking media, just the things the Lord has been speaking to him about the Christian or the church and the media. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, Jake will seek to apply this to what we should be doing, how we can key, that's the word you use, how we can key into what God is doing. Don't go away. We'll take a break now.
You are listening to Let's Talk, interesting conversations on today's issues. Stay tuned. Listening to Let's Talk, interesting conversations on today's issues. Stay tuned.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back there, viewers, and welcome the audience in the studio to this second part of my interview with Jake Epele. Jake, before we left, you opened my eyes to some words in the Hebrew. I just it's beautiful the way you unpacked Psalm 19 there, because the words and the fact that they link to and what is happening today. Because if we can understand not just that media is good, but that media is born by God, created by God, we begin to ask ourselves, how can we make the most of this gift from God? Now, tell me, in your thinking, how can we make the most of it?
First of all, the church left what God gave them and put it in the hand of the devil. And the enemy is using it against God's people.
In the beginning, right? We were slow in coming on board.
Exactly.
Since we're always slow in coming on board, Facebook suddenly looks a bit funny. Then later we come on board.
Exactly.
But then it is.
But those things are there for us to use. The only thing is we need to use it excellently.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, if we bring in the spirit of mediocrity, the system is going to reject us.
Yeah, because
we need to also do it differently.
The quality is not
exactly.
We think since it's Christian, we don't have. I'm saying something there.
Yeah.
Because this is a struggle we have.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a struggle of the financing of it. Sometimes it's our mindset, and we feel,
excellence doesn't need
requires
money.
So much money. It just requires a mindset.
Exactly.
To make
excellence
sure
you're doing
it as beautiful as possible.
Is a spirit. Mm. Daniel 5:14, and Daniel had an excellent spirit. It's a spirit. Now, the myth about excellence is not sophistication.
Yeah.
Excellence is doing the right thing accurately and delivering it as though Christ is delivering it.
And doing it with such intention.
Yeah. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
The problem with, number one, I'm going to make a very strong statement. There are many pastors on television that have no business being on television.
Okay.
The work you do is a call. Mm. That's why you can do it with ease.
Yeah.
The world don't go on set without paper.
Yeah.
Look at you doing what you're called to do without any piece of paper. That's how you know you're called to do it. It's in your DNA. It's in your blood. So what we must do, number one, we must do something differently. Following the spirit of God. God is still the ultimate creator.
Yeah.
He will give you something different that had never been done.
Yeah.
When you do it excellently, the whole world will come to your feet.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want to mention name.
Yeah.
When I started my TV program, I wanted all the ministers, the big ministers, the frontline ministers and all that. Nobody was coming.
Yeah.
And the Lord said to me, he said, sit down. Do what you're doing well. When you finish doing it well, they will come to you.
Yeah.
When I finish doing it well, who is who in this Lagos? Started lining up and wanting to be on my program.
Amen.
So you must do it differently. Number two, you must do it excellently. Number three, you must do it efficiently. Number four, you must do it effectively.
Yeah.
You know, you must plan strategically what you want to do and deliver.
Mm.
Have the right messaging.
Yeah.
Have the right messaging.
And that's really what we're about.
Yes.
It's the message.
And
it's a message, really.
Size your audience.
Mm.
Your program is not for everybody.
No.
You must look at the kind of audience that you want to reach and then use professionals.
Yeah.
Many of them are in your churches.
Mm.
You're intimidated to use them. Just because you're anointed does not make you a professional.
Yeah.
Just because you're anointed does not. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given somebody to Moses to help him to build the temple. So you must use professionals around you and be humble to take their advice.
Yeah.
Be humble to take their advice. Just because you are their pastor does not mean you know what they know. So they will tell you, no, you're not doing it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, this is how to do it, you know. Another thing, too, is you must look out for what your people need, what the people you want them to watch you, what they need. If your program is youth-driven, then go youth.
Yeah.
If you want to reach the aged, then reach them. Know the right language, know the right platform.
Yeah.
Give them what they want without contradicting the Bible.
Yeah, stay true to the gospel.
That's right.
But be flexible to
meet. That's right. You're a missionary.
Yeah.
Sir, this is the greatest mission field.
Yeah, amen.
This is the greatest because what you're doing, the Muslim will watch it.
Yeah.
The Hindus will watch it.
Yeah.
The atheist will watch it.
Yeah.
And through that, they will see the light of
yes,
the gospel.
Yes.
This is the greatest platform
Amen.
For evangelism.
Amen. 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 Jake, so somebody is watching this and is saying, where do I start from? I hear that man speaking mm-hmm. on TV. Mm-hmm. I love what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I just feel I've known for long that God's called me into the space mm-hmm. of the media. Mm-hmm. He's called me to mm-hmm. engage mm-hmm. and pass his message through mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. Where does it start from? It might be a pastor,
yeah.
but it might also be just somebody out there who God's called just like he called yeah. you. So where does it start from?
Number one, it's a call. It's not a job.
Yeah.
Are you called? That's where to start.
Yeah.
But before then, are you a born-again Christian?
Yes.
Because it is the born-again mind
yeah.
that God can, through that mind, give you birth
That's a
vision.
Starting point.
Yeah.
You can't even carry God's message
exactly.
if you've not carried God's life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So number one, you know, are you born again? Number two, what type of program that you want to do?
What is God calling you?
What is God calling you to do?
Because it's not just
exactly.
one size fits all.
Yeah. So once you know that, look around you. Are there people around you that can help you make what you want to do? Some of them are professional.
Look for helpers.
Somebody who works in a television station, you say it's a secular television
yeah.
station, and it's in your church. It's the same thing.
It's just like the man called Austin Awolowo who helps to direct
exactly.
us. Without that man, I wouldn't get started.
Exactly.
My own testimony is that I had this idea.
No,
and
you haven't tapped in the brain of
Austin.
And it's
the man that introduced me to you.
You have not tapped in his brain.
He's still
just
trying
scratched.
To renew my mind.
So can you imagine people like that?
Yeah.
People like that are in churches where they have huge resources.
Yeah.
Why don't you take somebody like that, put a little resource
in them? Ironic thing is that the word profits from them more than the church
exactly.
profits from them.
Because
they see the value in them more
Jim,
than...
Jim, in God, you either use it or you lose it. You either use it or you lose
so
it.
So I cut into you. Yeah. You say, look for people who can help you.
Yeah.
So you
look for people who can help you. Sit down with them and plan the program. Allow them to buy you airtime that is affordable.
Yeah.
Don't go to the station as Pastor Chim.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
will bill you.
Yeah.
You know, so use
look
that
for
there.
What works for you.
Look out for the right
space.
Belt.
Yeah.
For the right time within the station when people will watch. And then establish a feedback mechanism
yeah.
so that people can tell you, I watch your program. This is what I see. This
yeah.
is what I see.
Yeah.
Do it this way. So you must be teachable, you know. And finally, be willing to change.
Yeah.
If you do it the first time and it's not right,
yeah.
be willing to change
yeah.
so that you can do it
yeah.
and get it right.
Yeah, good. It's a very, 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 very solid point. Very solid points there. Jake, what do you see as we round up? What do you see the Lord calling the church in this space? We are the generation, believe me, more than anybody else who has lived.
Mm-hmm.
When we used to talk about multimedia 20 or 30 years ago, we didn't know the level of multimedia we would have today.
That's right.
Multimedia has gone to another level.
That's
we
right.
have various platforms.
That's right.
I mean, we can sit here and broadcast live from Facebook
right.
and people will watch us.
Right.
So what do you see in terms of the church and the media prophetically in the coming years?
I see from what Daniel saw. When Daniel said, knowledge shall increase, we didn't think through to know that if knowledge increases, it can only increase through a medium.
Yeah.
So I see greater exploits in various shades of media.
Yeah.
Social media just came out a few years ago.
And now it's everywhere. It's as if it's always been here.
There's going to be more discovery.
Mm.
There's going to be more segment of the media.
Mm.
You know, media will be in people's palm. It's already in people's palm. Today, you're walking people. Somebody was going out of the plane. He's still texting.
Yeah.
I've seen husband and wife.
Texting to each other.
They're eating. They're texting each other. So there's going to be further explosion in knowledge dissemination. The church must wake up. The church must wake up. We must wake up and face reality and embrace the gift that God is giving to every one of us. Don't reject the media just because you're not in the media. Don't also abandon the media just because you feel I can't afford it.
Yeah.
There are many of them today that all you need is just your Look at T.D. Jakes.
Yeah.
It was just one window of opportunity in the media that blew him all over the world.
Yeah.
So don't ever give up. If God has called you to do media, stay there.
Even when it's tough.
That's how you know that God called you.
Yeah, because many times people start it off, it becomes tough. 1 year, 2 years, they stop.
But God didn't call you.
Yeah,
then.
Because
God didn't tell you to do it.
I mean, your word of your own story on TV is an encouragement because you talked about how in the beginning nobody wanted, and that's the time people bail out, not knowing that it's not going to be rosy. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get a followership just by appearing one day or in 6 months. You're going to have to stick it on a long run.
That's right.
Based on a call from
that's
God.
That's right. And Chim, another thing is build partnership.
Yeah.
There are three things that makes an organization successful. Number one is shared vision. Share your vision around. Number two, create systems, processes. Number three, strategy. Let me add number four, synergy.
Mm.
You need partnership.
Mm.
You need partnership.
Mm. Mm.
And this is one thing that I will strongly advise. Look out for organizations and churches that have built strong partnership, you know, not just for them to give, tell me, how did you do it, you know, and build
an advice is much better than the funding. And you know, Jake, as you speak, I hear you encouraging a lot of people, and I believe in Africa, God is raising up a new breed of people, not just to stand up and do what everybody's been doing.
Right.
Because you said, let's do it differently.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that we watch you preaching in church. Mm-hmm. God might be giving you an idea to create something different. And let's do it differently, but let's know that God wants to pass that message
right.
out.
That's right.
The message of the gospel of Christ through the testimonies of what he's doing in the lives
that's
of people
right.
in the various facets of
that's
it. Jake, unfortunately, we have to land this
year.
We have to land this year. We wouldn't be taking questions.
That's right.
You've been such a blessing to us.
Thank you, sir.
What's your last word to the people watching all over Africa?
As you look at me today, I want you to remember the day you were born. The day you were born, you cried. Everyone around you were rejoicing. When you live your life so well, the day you die, you will rejoice. And everyone around you will cry.
Mm.
That's a life of contribution.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. That is a good way to land it. Let's be people that when we die and leave this earth, people will be weeping because we made life different for them for good. Jake, thank you for joining
us. As a matter of fact, after this program, write your obituary.
Yeah. Let's give him a round of applause. This is where we'll be landing it. Thank you for joining us. I'll be back later in the other segment to wrap up. Thank you so much, Jake. God bless you.
I have to know.
God bless you. God bless
you.
Such a blessing.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me. I have a word of encouragement for you today, and it's titled Grace, Grace, God's Grace. I want to start by reading this beautiful verse in Psalm 65, verse 3. It says, when we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Think about that. Our sins can be overwhelming. There are times where all my sins and failures just come to completely paralyze me, and I don't know what to do. Has this happened to you before? Well, that's why this verse is so beautiful, because it says, when we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Praise God. Because the forgiveness of God is so overwhelming that even our sins that overwhelm us, no matter what our past has been, God's desire is that we enter into all that he has prepared to do through us and for us as individuals and as a community. But this will not be possible if we do not know how to deal effectively with the past. In the book of Zechariah, in the Old Testament, in its third chapter, it opens with a pathetic scene. Listen to what it says. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebukes you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? Now, Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. I'm reading from Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 3.
Here was the high priest Joshua standing before God in filthy rags. Instead of being robed in the glorious clothing of righteousness, like the beautiful Old Testament robes for the high priest, his past choices has brought him to a place of shame. Before God, there was no hiding the history of his recent past. He had sinned against God. It might have been secret sins or indulgences hidden from men, but before God, there was no hiding of that filth. He was speechless. Sin had turned the once delightful presence of God into a very uncomfortable place to be for this man of God. Yet he came, and that's a beautiful thing. Have you ever stood where Joshua was standing? I have, many times in my own life, paralyzed to a standstill by my past, by my sins and my failures. Notice that the devil does, what the devil does at this very moment, that this man is down and almost out. Satan, the Bible says Satan was standing at his right side to accuse him. This is always Satan's strategy. The enemy hits the hardest when we are down. He hits below the belt. He zooms in like a hawk, closing in for the kill. He comes shouting accusation into our ears, telling us how it's all over for us, how we can never expect God to have anything to do with us again, how God can never use us again, what great failures we are, and that we will never be any better. But what was God's response to Joshua? Look at that place. God does not come to condemn him. Instead, he comes to fight for him. Hallelujah. He rebukes the accuser, the devil, and goes on to help Joshua out of the mess he himself, through his own choices, got himself into. This truth is awesome to me, that even when we have sinned and hurt God, he is still ready to fight for us and help us out of sin. Even now, if you find yourself overwhelmed by your sins and failures, it is not God condemning you and telling you no good can ever come from you. He still loves you and is sticking with you against the enemy of your soul, the devil, who wants to make sure you never rise up again. The devil wants to overwhelm us with a vision of our past so that we will lose every hope of restoration to holiness, to power, to usefulness. He wants us so overwhelmed that we'll give up on ourselves and sink more deeply into sin and hopelessness. But God responded by declaring Joshua's destiny over his life. The Bible says, the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? That's verse 2. Even when we have fallen lower than we can imagine, God doesn't lose sight of his call on our lives. Isn't that beautiful? Notice that God didn't leave Joshua as he was. God doesn't only forgive us, he cleanses us. In verse 4, it says, and the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garment from him. And to him he said, behold, I have taking your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. Hallelujah. It is God who takes sin away and gives us righteousness. That is why he calls us to come to him and repent. Even if we are all messed up, we need to come with our mess to God, just the way Joshua came. God not only takes away sin, but he also recommits himself to us. He comes to give us the opportunity to start all over again and fulfill his destiny for our life. Here's what Zechariah 3 verse 7 says in the ESV. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I'll give you the right of access among those who are standing here. Can you imagine? God is saying that to a man who was filthy, who is being restored now. What a glorious God we serve. Let me end with the words of the chorus of a hymn that is so dear to me. I would sing this, but my voice is not good. It says, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sins. Wow, wow, wow. I don't know what your situation is. Maybe you used to follow Christ, but your choices of the past have brought you to a place where, like Joshua, you stand filthy before God today. Maybe you have lost your way and the devil is telling you there is no hope for your future. Maybe you're a leader like Joshua, you're a pastor, you used to minister, and you're falling from grace. Maybe you have never given your heart to Christ before. I have good news for you. God is not finished with you. God is not standing and condemning you and saying there is no future. That's the devil's voice, actually. That's not God's voice. God is standing and is fighting for you. He wants to cleanse you and restore your destiny and your future. Will you join me in prayer of repentance today, right there where you are? Just pray with me. Lord, I thank you because you love me. I thank you because you never give up on me. Thank you that even now you are not condemning me, but you are calling me to repent. Lord, I'm tired of my sin. I don't want to continue in it anymore. Today I come back to you. Take me, Lord. Wash me. Give me a new beginning, like you did for Joshua. And I'll follow you for the rest of my days. Amen. I want to pray for you. If you pray that prayer with all your heart, then God started a new thing with you. He's there. He's walking over you. He's watching over you, singing and rejoicing over you. Father, I thank you for what you've done in the life of that man, that woman who is watching this video. I just pray, oh God, that Lord, you would teach them, take their hands, like you did for Joshua. You not only forgave him, you cleansed him. You not only cleansed him, you restored him into his destiny. You not only restored him, you spoke of even higher things than what he has done before. I pray that over that man, over that woman, everywhere where their destiny has been derailed, I speak a restoration of destiny, a restoration of future, a restoration of hope. You say, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and of a hope. I declare that future and the hope that you have for that man or that woman who is watching me, and say, so shall it be in their lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm excited about your future. This is where we'll wrap up this week. Please subscribe to this channel. Share this video with people you don't know who you might encourage with this video. And by all means, leave a comment on that there. Let's know if you have a question, or send it to the contacts on the screen. If it's private and you want to ask a question or you need prayers for something, please send it on those ones. We will do our best to reply you. And remember, we have our TV shows on the channels that you see displayed on our YouTube channel here. And there are so many contents. Please stay around. Look at the other contents. Leave a comment. Like our YouTube videos and tell other people about it. Thank you so much. I'll see you in another video. Bye-bye.